Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show improve. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
You keep it going, man. You keep those books rolling. You pick up all those books that you're going to read and not remember, and you roll, man. You get that associate's degree, okay? Then you get your bachelor's. Then you get your master's. Then you get your master's master's. Then you get your doctorate. You go, man. Then when everybody says quit, you show them those degrees, man. When everyone says, hey, you're not working, you're not making any money, you say, you look at my degrees, and you look at my life. Yeah, I'm 52. So what? Hate all you want, but I'm smart. I'm so smart, and I'm in school. These guys are out here making money all these ways, and I'm spending mine to be smart. You know why? Because when I die, buddy, you know what's going to keep me warm? That's right, those degrees.
Yes, this big victim from Birmingham, Alabama. Graduation season is coming up. If you have any young people that's graduating high school, I would suggest to get a trade. With the prices of college that's out there right now, it's like buying a house after you do your 4 years of college. So I would suggest recommend to the young people out there, check into a trade, you know. A skill, something you can learn, is going to make you money right off the top. It's about $4,000. You can go to a school. They're going to charge you about $4,000 to go to truck driving school. Or you can go to some companies. They pay for your tuition and everything to learn how to drive a truck, but you got to sign a contract with the company for about a year, sometimes two, and stay there, learn the road, learn how to drive the truck, and you come out the gate making money. So I just wanted to share that to the fellow victims. Thanks for letting me share.
Appreciate that, big victim in Alabama. They just had a report on NPR. I think it was yesterday. If it wasn't yesterday, it was within the last 48 hours. They just had a report on NPR. It was saying that exactly, that there are lots and lots of jobs, or a sizable number of jobs with a good amount of demand, where you could start right out of high school if you have a trade. And they had, of course. And in fact, they were doing the report here in Seattle. I heard this on the National Public Radio, NPR, but they do have their affiliates, and they were reporting here in Seattle, and they were talking to a white person, of course, and whatever, I think he was talking, exact story that Big Victim just laid out, the whole college thing cost a lot of money, he didn't like it, blah, 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 he's probably an opioid addict, that's big for the whites here in Seattle. He said, forget that, dropped out of college, Edward Snowden, and did the trade school thing, and now he's got a job, he's about to make something close to six figures, actually. But they were saying, I will post that clip, I'll play it next week, because they were just talking. Exactly. Big Victim was right in line with what they were talking about this week.
This time of year is when lots of high school seniors are trying to figure out am I going to college? But maybe the real question should be, do I need to? You're listening to KNKX, and about a third of college students in Washington State fail to finish in 6 years. A recent report from the state auditor's office said students need more information about alternatives to bachelor's degrees that take less time and lead to high-paying jobs. 88.5 Youth and Education reporter Ashley Gross has this story.
Matt Dickinson is wearing safety goggles and a sweatshirt that says the word college on it, inspired by the movie Animal House. But he's not in a lecture hall. He's learning how to rebuild a car transmission.
Oh, yeah. Did you get that? That's just like this. That bearing goes on the top where this sits.
Dickinson is 21 years old. He goes to a technical college called Lake Washington Institute of Technology in Kirkland. He's working toward an associate's degree to become an auto repair technician, but he didn't come straight here. When he was going to high school in Redmond, he received one message over and over again.
It was kind of this whole big thing like, hey, go to college, get a four-year degree, make a bunch of money.
So he did. He went to Washington State University for a year and a half, but he didn't really like it. His grades weren't that great, and he was unhappy after he got cut from the track team.
So I was like, you know what? Whatever. I'm done here. I like cars. I'm going to go to a trade school, learn how to work on cars. I got a job in the industry, so I'm part-time here, part-time working in the industry, and it's great. It's awesome. I'm making money while I'm learning.
Dickinson's eyes light up when he describes his job. He works on Corvettes and Camaros. One of his roommates has taken out a lot of loans to go to the University of Washington. Dickinson pays for his schooling out of pocket from his part-time job, and his professor, Michael Richmond, says there's a lot of demand for people who can repair cars because older workers are retiring.
The industry currently is losing 3 technicians for every 1 it gains. So we're not talking just a small problem. We're talking a massive problem.
Auto technicians in the Seattle area make about $53,000 a year. Richmond says some make more than 6 figures. And yet, he says trade school can be a hard sell.
A lot of the parents want the students to have a 4-year degree. It's what society pushes.
There is an emphasis on the 4-year university track.
Chris Cortinas works in the Washington State Auditor's Office. He co-authored a recent report that found the whole education system is geared toward helping kids get to college, everything from high school counseling to graduation requirements. But technical or community college can cost less than half what a public 4-year university charges.
Families and students need more information so that they can make better choices. And some of those choices are about what do these different tracks cost? What are the incomes associated with these different tracks? An apprenticeship, for example, I can get paid while I'm learning. If I do the 4-year university track, I'm paying while I go to college. And oftentimes these apprenticeship positions may pay every bit as much as college degrees.
Of course, a college degree still gives you a leg up in earning power. But there are lots of fields where you don't need a bachelor's.
There's huge demand in health science. There's huge demand in IT. And in some communities, there's definitely a demand in manufacturing.
Kate Kramer is with the group Advanced CTE, a nonprofit focused on career and technical education. She says the problem is there's still a stigma around vocational programs. Parents remember the old woodshop classes from high school,
where it was for kids that, you know, weren't college material, quote unquote, or weren't academically prepared and were really a dumping ground.
She says that's no longer the case. And people who are going into the trades are discovering their skills are really in demand.
The misconception is that, you know, we don't make as much money.
At 41, Jessica Bruce is training to become an iron worker. She's wearing a hard hat and work boots at an apprenticeship program run by the Pacific Northwest Iron Workers Local 86 in Tukwila. Here there are no loans, no tuition. You get paid while you learn. And with so much construction in Seattle now, jobs are plentiful. Bruce and the other apprentices are getting timed on how fast they can secure a 600-pound beam into place.
All right, disconnect. There you go. Right on. Wrong side, though.
What? Does it matter?
Bruce says no one told her the skilled trades were an option when she was growing up.
Ironworker had been my passion for so many years. So I decided, well, I didn't want to be, you know, 80 years old wishing I did that. So here I am.
Right now, Bruce is making more than $60,000 a year. She doesn't have to worry about how she'll pay for braces for her 10-year-old daughter. And her message to her daughter is, there are lots of avenues open, not just college. Ashley Gross, 88.5 News.
This story is part of a partnership with the Hechinger Report, an independent nonprofit news organization focused on education.
Context of white supremacy. Gusty Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Thursday, May 3rd, 2018. So I have been told. This is our weekly broadcast, Neutralizing Workplace Racism. If we have any non-white listeners, black listeners especially, if you have figured out this is what to do, you get your job, whatever it is, even if you are an entrepreneur, this is what to do. You do these exact things and you will never have a problem. You will not have a problem with any of your clients. You will not have a problem with raises, performance evaluations, being characterized as aloof, too quiet, not a team player. You will never face any of these accusations. You will get all of your bonuses on time with extra. Got it all mapped out. Vacation time, sick leave, anything that you need, taken care of. You need a transfer. You got a great office with a view, no less. And think you will just be able to kick back, enjoy your career until you are ready to retire. If you figured out how to do that, we need to hear from you immediately. The number 641-715-3640. The code 564-943 pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. If you figured out how to get in that glorious spot, that's great. Hopefully you'll be the first person to dial in. Certainly if you have any problems, if you're in a situation on the job and you would like codified counter-racist suggestions in terms of just evaluating what's happening and possible ways that you can deal with that problem without creating new problems, definitely give us a jingle. 641-715-3640. The code 564-943 pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. If you are not able to dial in via the phone, you can also submit an email, which many folks have already done, untiljustice@gmail.com. Again, untiljustice@gmail.com. I can read if you have either a situation or if you just have suggestions that you want to offer on what's being discussed, either or, untiljustice@gmail.com, and we'll read your commentary on the air. All right. Actually, I was going to read some of the commentary that people wrote in. First up, the audio that we heard at the beginning. Big Victim last week was talking about, we're giving his suggestion about trades. As I said last week, they were just talking about that on NPR and the Seattle area. How about that? I also think that Seattle having all of the construction, which is true, and building and booming. And, said that before. Seattle is super, super, super white. So I think that is a big factor in that equation, but nonetheless, definitely something to consider. Big Victim was talking about it, and there you go. Before I get to some of the folks who wrote in, just again, this broadcast especially, the compensatory call-in as well, but any of our times where we're talking about workplace racism, this is not a spectator broadcast. If you are a non-white person, black person listening to this broadcast, if you have a work history at all, I'm very sure you have had some experiences with whites on your job, even with other non-white people, victims of racism, on your job. This is a broadcast where lots of folks should be able to participate. If you're just looking for entertainment, there are many better options. And the weather is so lovely, man. I wanted to make sure that I get it on record. I feel totally robbed because it is finally feeling like spring in Seattle. Sunny, 70 degrees today. I was able to go and sit at the park near the fountain. It was beautiful, but had to make it a very brief visit because we had the broadcast. We have priorities under the system of white supremacy, but I would much, much, much rather be outside frolicking in a system of justice than having to spend our time countering white supremacy. Priorities. That's it. We had people who wrote in, and we should not have spectators. We should not have spectators. There are many better things that we could all be doing. Participate. It is, I think, very informative for, and particularly for younger listeners, to be able to hear about some of the things that happen. I think it's informative, period, about what it means to be white when you can see many of the same patterns, since especially we have people call from all over the world and participate. So you're hearing some of the same types of terrorism, trashiness happening worldwide in the workplace setting. And I also think it's just helpful to know these are the types of things that happen. These are the types of things that you can do to be proactive to stop these types of, you know, trashy acts from happening on your job. So I always think it's helpful. I always think it's informative. Even if it's thinking back about things that have happened in your work history, I think that can be very helpful for everybody. Just getting a better understanding of what happens to us on the job and realizing how common many of these tactics, antics are. That's it. Let's get to some of the folks who wrote in. I didn't even read all of the commentary that people wrote in from last week. So I'm picking up from where we left off from last week. Black male caller in Baltimore writing in, he says, so I work in a warehouse. The company bought another company called Stubbs, S-T-U-B-B-S. He encourages us to look up the product. So one day they said, yeah, these are going on slave pallets. We said, what? What they mean is it comes on a pallet and they want us to put them on top of another empty pallet. They said one pallet carries the other. Therefore, it's a slave pallet. So we looked up slave pallet, come to find out this is an actual term, but it's in reference to an automatic racking system, which means the way they used the term was incorrect. They could have easily just said, hey guys, put the Stubbs pallet on top of another pallet. Simple. So I went to the human resource officer, who is another victim. She was shocked. She made one call and we never heard the term again. Even though the problem was solved, we were thinking with all these non-white people, black people specifically working here, you didn't think there would be a problem calling it a slave pallet, especially with a black male face on the cover of the product. As Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. says, working with these race soldiers, you have to expect the three T's. I think I've already invoked, but once again, trashy, tacky, terroristic. That is about as good as it's going to get. And words are so critically important in the workplace in particular. Words, very, very important. And to me, this is exactly what I was saying before. I think it's so informative. What does it mean to be white? And then, as he said, we could have just said, hey, get an empty pallet, put it down, grab another pallet, boom, you know, move that out. Many different ways that could have been phrased without the invocation of slavery. Constantly. That's what and I've said that before, those metaphors frequently, that's the way that whites, if I'm having difficulty relating a concept or an idea to someone, particularly if I'm talking to another white person, I'm going to think about something that I think they will already be familiar with. I know, niggers. Yes. Okay. Let me find a way to connect this to niggers so that we'll all understand. And I think they enjoy that. This person said that on this job, there are a lot of black people. I think whites, they like that. Being able
to flagrantly practice racism, white supremacy in front of non-white people, even to do it in a sneaky kind of way where the Negroes don't even know that we're being racist in front of. We'll just call it a slave paddle. And that'll be our little racist joke inside. But great job not getting angry. You can ask questions. You can just write it down. What does that mean? Look it up. Great job. Definitions. Great. Went to HR. And this is, I think, one of the few times that I've actually heard of HR being helpful in these types of matters. But he did say it was a non-white, as a black female, or yeah, non-white female who was the HR representative. So glad that that worked out. I would just stay alert because I'm sure they might even feel disgruntled about not being able to call these slave pallets anymore. Let's look up the product. Anybody, if you have time, Stubbs, S-T-U-B-B-S. To see what this is in the Baltimore, Maryland area, since he encouraged us to look up the product. Next, this is a person who is writing in about what was discussed on workplace racism last week. Thomas in New York called in with a really traumatic health situation with his high blood pressure and not feeling as though he could not take time away from work for his health. I'm a victim of white supremacy, and I'm a little ignorant, and I do not have proper words to capture, but a listener wrote in to express more detail. He writes, "It hurt me physically to hear Thomas from New York tell about trying to go to work with a 200 blood pressure reading. He should be able to take off for more than one day and get proper medical care. Black people are being killed by these jobs. We have to search for jobs with some kind of benefits, and these can be found in New York, for example, in civil service, transit, post office, sanitation, or a similar type of job. White people and foreigners get these jobs and they make more money and have more job security than black college graduates." I did have an interesting pause there just reading, thinking that there are foreigners who are classified as white. Yes, I think it's incorrect at minimum to suggest that quote unquote foreigners are all non-white people. Some of the whites that are here were not born here. Yes, they would be foreigners. Yes, quote unquote, whatever you mean when you say foreigners. Continuing, talking about black college grad. Yeah, so funny. We just mentioned that. Study for these tests and take them as many times as you have to. Assistance can be found with a local community college or community organization to help you with these tests. Get The Chief, the civil service newspaper. Many entrance level jobs only require a high school education. Bouncing around from one benefitless job to another ends up with you having to work forever or to retire with no or a very small pension. Also, cut out or cut down on the carbs. It worked for me. Suggestions from listener who heard in from last week. I'll get in one more, and then we'll get to callers, but have additional. And then if other people, as we are listening, if you are, as I said, if you're not able to call in, if you want to write in a situation, or if you have commentary on what's been shared, untiljustice@gmail.com. Black female writes in. Investor. It has been, I thank you for providing an opportunity to share incidents involving suspected racist white supremacists. Thank you for providing an opportunity to share suggestions for solving the problems created by suspected racists, white supremacists. On May 1, I was selected to attend a focus group meeting. The focus group participants involved so-called senior employees, supervisors, and managers on a conference call located in different parts of what is known as the U.S. Prior to the meeting, a black male supervisor advised me to provide ideas and suggestions for updating an official department form. The meeting was led by a suspected racist white woman. The white woman shared a suggestion for updating the form while making the change to the form via the Skype PowerPoint presentation. After tentatively updating the form, the white woman asked what the group thought of the change to the form. I observed that the language added to the form was not the most clear. So I responded to the question by politely requesting the white woman to explain how the added language and the language already presented on the form differed. Her response, with vigor, "No, no, that's different. It's different." I calmly responded by asking, "How so?" Her response failed logic within the context of department policy. Other participants involved in the focus group agreed that the language should be more clear. After updating the language, the white woman begrudgingly posed two questions to me. "How's that? Is that clear?" In my response, "In my view, yes. Thank you for asking." End of incident report. I will correspond with a follow-up because today, she wrote this yesterday, so May 2nd, I was informed about a complaint involving me asking too many questions and not paying attention during conference call meetings. Wow. It's not funny. Forgive me for laughing. Actually, this is one of the few times I can think of. It's less than five. I mean, if you really pressed me on it, less than five of a non-white person getting in trouble for asking questions. And you know what happens? My immediate response, anytime that it is even brought up or hinted at that there's something incorrect or that there is a limit, like there's a quota on the number of questions, how many questions am I permitted to ask per day, per hour, per minute, per month? What's my quota? I might even have to invoke that term specifically. What is my quota for questions per day? And see how they respond. Like, I love it. I cannot wait for the update. But that, what did we say? The three T's: tacky, trashy, terroristic. And I just said the importance of words. And in my view, that is beautiful. Anytime that you see vagueness with regards to policy and procedure, talk about that all the time. Policy and procedure and the importance. Read the policy and procedure. I think she said in her commentary here that within the context of department policy, this was not clear, and we need to make sure that this is congruent with what our policy and procedure is, and so that people can understand that quickly with the language that we're using. Words are critically important. And just my suggestion would be this sort of example, anytime that you have vagueness in policy and procedure, that benefits racists, white supremacists. Reason, explanation, discretion, one of my favorite words. Discretion, anytime that they can just kind of sit and say, well, I have the opportunity to come to a decision. I'll think about this for a little while and come to a decision. Our policy is not too clear on this one, so I'll just have to make a decision. We generally handle these things on a case-by-case basis because our policy isn't very specific. See, that's what they'll say, and that means, woo, we can really go to work on the niggers because I can do whatever I want. So absolutely, you want it to be precise, exact about how things are supposed to be conducted, the way we do business with regards to policy and procedure. So excellent, beautiful, excellent counter-racist work in shoring up the language for clarity, precision, and then the tackiness, this white woman to be outrun me. And then she comes back with these nasty questions. How's that? Is that clear? As though this black female was the only one who raised the question about the clarity of the language. She doesn't do this to any of the other whites present. And I've seen that sort of thing happen before, where a black person asks a question, or it might even be a group of people, and they just focus on the non-white person with hostility about them having the nerve, the gall to question a white person. Cannot wait for the update. The number again, 641-715-3640, the code 564-943 pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. If you have commentary on any of what's been shared thus far, grand. If you have your own situation that you want to discuss, that's fine as well. Folks who dialed in with a hand up, line should be open. Feel free.
May I be heard?
I heard both folks will get our female caller first.
Oh, hi, Gus. I'd like to just be referred to as Drape the Mania. I'm calling. This is my second time calling. I called you last week for the first time, and I have a job situation that's going on. I work at a place that is a call center, and the reviews for the job is not very well. They have a very huge turnover, and this morning, we get a review for our calls. They, they listen into our calls to see how we're doing on our calls and things like that. So I got reprimanded by a non-white supervisor this morning for one of my calls. She said that my tone, I didn't sound excited enough. I've been having like allergies or what have you. I was told about my tone and my voice before that I needed to sound more excited or what have you. And I was also told that I didn't read off one of the customer's date of birth, which I know that's something that's not true. I always make sure I verify all the information. But also, just to kind of back up, maybe about 2 weeks ago, they didn't pay us on time. They ended up not paying us. We didn't get paid. I was supposed to get paid on a Thursday, and we didn't end up getting our checks until that. I got paid, ended up getting paid on that Sunday. So I was like very, very upset about that situation. So moving forward back to today, this morning, she told the non-white supervisor, she told me about that situation, and that, and she kind of made reference to like, they listened to your calls before. So, being that you're my girl, I just wanted to let you know, so they won't scoot you out of here. So I'm like, okay, she's telling me one thing, but then it is also kind of like a subtle threat with it also. So I was like a little, perturbed about that or what have you. So I get home today because I work the third shift. I get home today and I look at my phone and I get a text message from another non-white manager. And she's asking me the text. We had a couple of non-white black gentlemen that worked the third shift, because it's like basically it's just four of us that was working the night shift. So two of the guys that was working, they ended up leaving. So now, and there's a non-white black gay girl that that's my supervisor, and her girlfriend was working on the same shift with her. She ended up leaving too. So now it's just me and her that works the third shift together. So when I get when I got home, I got a text stating because the two guys, they ended up leaving. I don't know what happened. One day I looked up. It was on a Sunday, I think. And the next thing I know, these two guys, they left. So I get an email. A text, and it says, do you remember when we let this non-white person go? We need a statement from you stating what you heard or saw. So I replied to her about 3 weeks ago, I believe. I told her that I believe it was at least 3 weeks ago that they let this guy go. So then she says, responds, and she says, yes, we need a statement on it, and I'll let you know when. So, I'm like, first of all, I know how these, the white people at the job, how they run their business very tacky, trashy, terroristic. They basically do whatever they want. They run the company any way they want. No ethics. They just, like I told you, as far as the pay and everything, they don't pay you on time. It's a revolving door. They have horrible reviews on Indeed. It's just really horrible. And I really took the job because I just needed another job to work. So then I responded back to her. I said, I saw nothing because I was on the phones and all I saw was him and Euro leaving out. So then she responds back to me. She says, they just still was needing that in writing. So then I respond to her. I said, well, what happened? So then she says, I can't state right now. I just put what you know is that, and then I get another text later on. That was about 12 o'clock that I got the last one. I mean, you know, last one until 7:48 this evening. She texts me and she says, is that the only thing that I'm just gonna send it in an email? So I respond to her and I say, yes, that's it. I didn't even know that there was an issue until now. If you can remember, I asked you and Sarah where he and the other gentleman was a week later. I asked if they changed shifts. So I have no idea as to what is going on. So I said all of that to say, because this morning, you know, I kind of feel like I'm kind of reprimanded because they kind of want me to fear for my job or feel like I need to say something or rat on another non-white black person. You know, I don't know what they're doing with this information. I don't know what happened. I don't know why, if this guy is trying to get his unemployment. I have no clue as to what's going on. But what I do know is that I want to, you know, live within my code is to not snitch on another non-white person or cause harm to somebody that could possibly, it could possibly cause this guy harm. And if they do it, I mean, I understand that these, you know, non-white people, they have to do what they have to do in order to keep their job. They may have to, for lack of a better word, kiss behind to get ahead on the job and slave on the job and do what they need to do and throw other non-white people under the bus, because that's the kind of atmosphere that we work under. But like, I don't understand like why I'm being drugged into a situation and I have no clue as to what is going on. And then on top of that, I'm being basically kind of like threatened in the, you know, this morning, and I see these people coming in, like the boss. He says to me, "Oh, why are you sitting all the way back there? We need you to sit up here." And, you know, I'm just like, I just wanted to give you guys a call to find out what's going on. But that's what I told her. I don't know if I should put anything in writing, because I really just don't want to even get involved in whatever's going on. I don't know why they're using this information. I don't know what it's being used for. I suspect that it's going to be used to harm this non-black individual. So I just wanted to see if I can get some type of suggestions. I know, like I said, you know, I understand that, you know, non-black people, they have to do what they have to do. But it's kind of, I'm glad that I'm not in the position where I have to end up playing those type of games with them, because I'm not a manager. And I know that, that they're going to end up doing whatever they're doing to him. They'll do the same thing to me. So mm-hmm. I don't want to get involved in that nonsense. I just don't.
Okay. I think I understand your problem. Thank you so much for dialing in to share. And hopefully, you know, if we have any thing that is productive in helping you process this.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the thing that I would start with for me,
mm-hmm.
anytime that your compensation is late or inaccurate or, you know, we agreed on, you know, is well below what we should be getting anyway. But when that's mm-hmm. off, like for me, that is such a gigantic red flag that, I mean, if we can't even get this, like the bare minimum, if you get a job at McDonald's, generally they will get you your paycheck on time. Like if we can't even get right. this correct, like, oh man, like I can expect any and everything to happen in this sort of environment. I need to get out immediately. And if I heard
absolutely
what you were saying from the beginning, that you just took this job just to make some income for the moment. This was not like, you know, getting, I think you said you knew going in, you did your research, which is something I encourage people to do before you take the job, to investigate,
do your research to see, does this place have a history of not paying people on time? And, you know, these types of problems, or do they have a history of people being groped on the job? That might be good to know. Even if you have to take this job under dire circumstances, I think you're in a better position to know what you're going into. If you know this is a bad situation, they got bad reviews, my pay is being messed with, and now all these other issues, they fire these people for whatever reason, I would be really making sure, update that resume, update that LinkedIn page, like be looking aggressively, because I've found in the system of white supremacy, a lot of times we can get in these jobs that are just supposed to be a temporary type of thing, and then 5 years have passed and we're still there. I mean, certainly racists, they make it difficult. They obviously, all of this is their fault, but this thing, sometimes you can just get sucked into these environments and just totally lose track of, I was only supposed to be here temporarily. Like, this is not about, I'm not saying, you know, to try to solve problems while you're there, but really make sure that the priority is above trying to improve this. Get out of this situation, because I mean, wow, who knows when the pay thing could be off. From there, with regards to the statement, I think Mr. Fuller gives a great suggestion about just requesting time to, if you need to process, to think about the form or what they're asking you to do, to request time before you respond. I think that would be a great one there. And it's lots of different ways that you can phrase it. Some people even say, I might need to speak to an attorney about this, because this seems serious. That might be an advisable course for folks to think about in the future. Anytime you're asked to sign something, particularly if you're confused or you're unsure, this one particularly, why am I being like, did you all come to consult me? You didn't come to consult me to terminate these folks. Why are you now coming and in a serious matter to getting like a written statement from me about their termination? Like, what in the world? Like, that's just, that's super fishy for one. If you wanted to be really concise about this, and I think this would work for code as well, you could, and I think according to what you said, you could write truthfully, the extent of my knowledge is such and such, whatever the names are, such and such and such and such and such and such, are no longer employed here. And that's it. That would be my one sentence statement, because it sounds like that's all I know. I was informed that they no longer work here, and that's it. No problem. I can give you that one sentence statement. No problem. And I would have no problem with that be being repeated around the world. As I said, everyone in the world, because that's all I know. I was informed that they no longer work here. Anything else? That would
be. Yeah, and that's what, exactly what I text her back, and that's it. I don't know anything else.
That would be all I would have to say. That, I mean, that's a very brief way that you could deal with it where it wouldn't require any more thinking. I mean, the whole thing is done. That's all I know, and we can move forward.
Right. Right. I mean, because the only reason why I'm there, I mean, I had super, super trifling, trashy, tacky, terroristic place that I ended up losing my job at. That's the only reason why I'm here, because they denied my unemployment. I'm in North Carolina, and they're at a will state. And they basically, you know, being at the Southern, you know, at will is basically, to me, I translate that as, you know, we were once, you know, very racist, and now what we can do, we can hide behind the law, we can fire you, even, you know, because you're just a Negro and we don't like you, but we can say that anything is, we don't even have to give an explanation now. We could just fire you for anything now and deny you of your unemployment. But basically the reason why I was terminated from my other employment, because I was physically attacked by a customer, and innately I just defended myself, you know what I mean? And they basically tried to use the fact that I tried to say I wasn't supposed to defend myself, and initially used that to deny my unemployment. So, you know, somebody had tried to attack me, I just instantly, like, you know, struck back, and like, or tried to strike back. And, I was terminated from the job for that. So basically, I guess all they wanted me to do is get beat up, scratched up by this lady, and, you know, it didn't have my back. I had been working here for years. It's like you said, it's just, I wish I had known about the show, like when I was going through that situation. I have to actually go to court tomorrow for this situation. So it's just, you know, it's just a plethora of terroristic and behaviors, and I've just been being attacked on all angles. And I'm glad that there's a forum like this. And I feel like, to me, it's somewhat like a support. You know, a lot of times, you know, you feel like you're by yourself, but by listening to your show, it gives me comfort because I know that I'm listening to other people. And I'm like, wow, like you said in the beginning, there's we go through this all over the world. So it's just wow. I'd like to thank you again, Gus, for all your help. And if anybody else can give me any kind of help, I would really appreciate that.
Yes, ma'am. Caller in North Carolina. If we had any of the other folks who dialed in, if you have any suggestions on her, that might be one for any folks if you work in a service capacity to ask what their policy is if you are being threatened or confronted or even in this case assaulted. What's their policy? I know in some settings they say that explicitly, that you're not allowed to retaliate. In this line of employment, you're not allowed to retaliate if you are attacked, assaulted physically, that, you know, you just have to cover or run or what have you, but you cannot, any sort of self-defense is not allowed. And they let you know up front, you know, that we will prosecute, we'll press charges. Like, I'm very familiar with employment situations where that is the case. And I mean, you just have to accept that as part of the job if you're going to take that type of a job. But I would definitely want to be clear about that sort of policy if you're in any sort of public setting. And even it would seem now if you have customers, because there's so many racists who are doped up or whatever, just being racist, and they want to attack non-white people. But any callers with any suggestions on what we just heard from our caller in North Carolina, if you have any suggestions, feel free.
Hey, have you heard?
Yes, sir.
Hello, my name is Brett Caldwell. I don't have any suggestions for her, but it seems like she's been terrorized like every other black person on the planet. I was calling today.
Well, if you don't have a suggestion, Brett, hang on 1 second. Do we have any suggestions? I mean, just make sure before we pivot. Did we have any folks who did have a suggestion for our caller in North Carolina? Just making sure.
Can I be heard?
Retired firefighter.
Greetings, everyone. I would say to the lady from North Carolina, based on what I heard, that you have actually set a very constructive and favorable, on your behalf, foundation. Because from what I've heard you state, you are pretty much accurate to reality and what takes place under the global system of racist white supremacy in employment. So with me not even knowing who you are, my opinion that you are very much accurate on experiences that I can relate to, that I have actually heard on this program from other people, and all of us are basically strangers to each other. And that is a big plus in your discourse from you know, you said that you are not going, that the job that you have was not necessarily meant to be something on a permanent basis, but even through the whatever that process, that short time that you've been on it, you certainly have learned a lot of things. I think you are very accurate on your analysis of what was happening to you. It is something that is consistent under the global system of racist white supremacy, and that's why the system of racist white supremacy is so negatively effective to non-white people. It's because they are able to contract non-white people to do a lot of their work to who? Other non-white people. I think you're accurate because that's basically how they receive their, I think, managing positions under the auspices that they're going to harm other non-white people on the behalf of the quote-unquote company, as far as they're concerned. And by you expressing it, you were very much aware of that when they came to you attempted to, you know, I, I put pressure on you to basically write a statement that would harm another non-white person. And as Gus did state, that if you just put the simplest and it's I mean, put exactly what your experiences was with the incident, which is a line that they can't really use against that person. But at the same time, you are answering that request, you know. And in turn, basically, what probably would happen with those two non-white people is that the pressure would continue on them to attempt to try to do something else. Apparently, that non-white person, as I think you said, was involved into attempting to do some sort of counter move to what happened to him. And and being that, as you stated, that the job itself is not very well put together itself, they probably have something that they needed to do in desperation. And in turn, they were going to use you for that. So I think, you know, on that basis that you basically assisted yourself in this process by being very accurate. And hopefully what I said would provide some sort of help.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate that, retired firefighter. If we have any folks on the line who have ever, in a job setting, been told that they asked too many questions, that would be grand to hear how you dealt with that. If you dealt with it in a codified manner, if you just yelled at them or put them in a headlock, that might not. Well, I guess that might be funny, but I prefer if you dealt with it in a codified manner. That would be awesome. Anyone ever been accused of asking too many questions on the job? Do we have any other suggestions for our caller in North Carolina? Okay. Soon, folks. Great. I'll ask again later. The first time male caller, thank you for your patience, sir. Did you want to proceed?
Yes, I do. Hi, Gus. My name is Brett Caldwell. I'm based out of Seattle, Washington right now. And I want to ask a suggestion because I'm going through a legal battle with Boeing right now. And it's been about a year and a half. And basically the situation was I got into a confrontation with a white
male. Is it possible that you could speak up a little bit? Like, your volume is low.
Okay. I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Give us another sentence.
Well, I got into it with a white male at my job. Is that better? Okay. All right. So I got into it with a white male at my job. I was a materials engineer for Boeing, and I was running some of my tests, and I was walking past him a few times, just checking on my probes inside of the spar that I was doing. And once his friends got around, he started mocking the way that I was walking or whatever. And he literally screamed at the top of his lungs, like, don't knock the wires out or whatever. So I asked him, obviously I was frustrated. I asked, but I wasn't like screaming at him. I just said, did I knock it out? And he started walking like a monkey and all that stuff like that, trying to make fun of the way that I walked. And so I said, like, at least like seven more times, did I, like, everything that he said, I just countered with, but did I knock it out? And then after I got down the stairs or whatever, he told me, that's why I can't stand you black. And I turned around and said, you would say some shit like, excuse me, you would say something like that at work, but I didn't say something. And then I walked away. And then that turned into, I offered to fight him inside of the parking lot of the Boeing field. And then that opened up an investigation, which ended up getting me terminated. But it wasn't based off of that. They just said that I lost my charger to my computer, and it was like they deemed that as what do you call that when you get reprimanded by it, and then that got me pushed out the door. So I'm in a legal battle with them right now, and I was trying to get representation out of Seattle, but nobody would take my case, even after I had my unemployment was approved by them, and they tried to take away my unemployment from the situation, but obviously the judge thought differently, and I tried to get some of the lawyers that I did have. I went through four lawyers right now that were based out of Seattle to take the case and with the audio of the what do you call that for the unemployment hearing or whatever, and then I had to end up getting a lawyer from Los Angeles. Is there anything that you can suggest to me so I can get representation out of Seattle and not from Los Angeles? Because I have to run my lawyer from Seattle through them in Los Angeles, which is costing me more money. And no, I'm not wealthy or anything like that. I am a victim of white supremacy and I am on limited resources right now. But something funny that you were talking about the trades, I ended up getting into a trade to kind of help out my finances. You know what I mean? Because you don't go from making six figures to working at McDonald's. It's not a good transition. So that's all I have right now, and I'll mute my line.
Indeed. Wow. I'm sorry to hear that. Some portions of this, I'm unfortunately reminded of Mr. Edward Williams. He has participated in this broadcast many times, this neutralizing workplace racism specifically, and he's written a book on the topic for victims of white supremacy and has a lot of really helpful strategies with regards to things you can do on the job. But one of those things, unfortunately, that he says in the book is that a lot of this information is much better to have it before you have the problem than after you have the problem. And certainly after the termination, like at this point, it's in terms of your question specifically, I would not know an attorney to suggest that's here in the Seattle area. Although, ironically, with my Yoga Chronicles, I did just meet Mark, a white attorney who is here in Seattle and apparently does this sort of work in terms of racial discrimination on the job, as he said. He does this sort of work and was telling me about this sort of thing. So at least I do know one white attorney here who does this sort of work. I don't know if, you know, he would be interested in taking your case or not. I can, you know, see about maybe getting his information to pass that along. But that's one of those, when we talked about attorneys before, I know that's why Mr. Fuller says that can be the sort of that route he doesn't necessarily encourage, because exactly as you said, it can just end up being something where it takes up a lot of money, a lot of time, and you might not end up with a favorable resolution. That, in fact, he's seen that be the case frequently, where a lot of money spent, a lot of time is spent, and there's no resolution. It doesn't work out. And I mean, a company like Boeing, I mean, my goodness, they're going to have attorneys for eons to do. And that's exactly what they're going to say. Hey, well, let's see if we can drag this thing out for 12 years, 10 years, what have you. To see if we'll make them quit. That's why I said before, if you're going to pursue the legal route, even if you do have a lot of great evidence, and I don't know if you have a lot of great evidence to support your case. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. I have a lot of evidence. Even the guy, the people that he was like trying to show off for, they were all witnesses to that, and they all vouched for me. That's what made them go the route of the computer. You know what I mean? And so, like, they gave really vague terms, and then it was just like, and you're supposed to get a warning, and then it's like a three-strike rule. You're supposed to get a warning, and it's not supposed to go straight to termination. So that's what made my lawyer in Los Angeles say my case was strong. That's why he took it in Los Angeles.
Okay.
So it's like I followed the rules to a T, like even through Boeing rules. Like, I brought that up and everything like that. But like I said, I understand what I'm in, and I don't wish for anything, because Boeing is also within this past year, because it happened February of last year. I've been called two times to get my job back, but I politely declined it because I don't want to be terrorized. I worked there for 4 years, and it's like every day I came to the job expecting to be fired for whatever reason. Like, and I've had white people just all over me. Because I'm the only black person within Acres. Because I was in Puyallup initially, which you're familiar with Washington. I started off in Puyallup. I had a guy park his truck next to mine with a Confederate flag waving, and then I reported that, and then they put out a memo to Boeing that you can't have a Confederate flag on the property anymore. You know what I mean? I've had people steal my car keys and then lay them in the back seat of my car. Like, it just, it was, I've been terrorized living in Washington. So it's like all of that is in the thing. But like my the case is online also. So.
Wow. Naya, you gotta wear a uniform on?
Okay. Well,
Naya.
A game for folks, if you do dial in with a hand up, if you could use your mute button, if you know you're in a rowdy environment, that would be super helpful. I am very familiar with the state of Washington and even in Puyallup, actually. That's one of the few places that I've been on the earth where I heard a car with Dixie as the car horn and heard it multiple times. I was stunned, but right in Puyallup, which is right down the road from Seattle. Anywho, with regard to, and again, this is, you know, all hindsight, Monday morning quarterbacking, as they say. This is why it is so critically important in terms of on the job, how you respond and really managing your emotions. Whites, a lot of times they do these sort of things exactly for this. Let's see if we can go and get them to chimp out, get them to get upset, get them all riled up. That alone, just we started this talking about Thomas' blood pressure issues and all the stress, that alone is one. Mm-hmm. And then if we can get them upset where they rile up and respond and are cursing and fuming and all that, oh, whoa, I don't know if this is professional conduct. Now, I mean, now they've just been dancing like a monkey and all this other stuff, but it comes back, I don't know. You might have been being unprofessional. Seems like you were threatening an employee. You know, that's what this is designed. Mm-hmm. That's why I say consistently expecting. This is the environment that we're in. Confederate flags, Dixie, system of white supremacy. Okay, so I'm not stunned. I'm not surprised about any of that. That tailors my responses. That is so huge. That's why I said before, if you listen to this broadcast specifically with workplace racism, if you don't get anything managing your emotions, if you don't do that, then you know the rest of it is, you know, toilet paper. But Mark, white attorney, suspected racist that I know, I can see if I can get any info from him, if he, you know, if he has an email or something where he might be willing to reach out and you can talk to him and see, kind of share your case with him. Beyond that, it sounds like, or my suspicion would be, it's going to be a difficult one. Boeing is going to have a lot of firepower for a court battle, but definitely keep us updated and I will share. Perhaps you can drop me an email untiljustice@gmail.com and I can do some work to see if Mark has additional information.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Other folks who dialed in, if you have commentary, suggestions on anything that has been shared thus far, or if you have your own situation that you want to discuss, line should be open. Proceed.
Can I be heard again?
Yes, sir, retired firefighter.
I was going to... As far as what I gathered about what the last report was by the caller, I think I heard him say something about did he say anything about witnesses? And if so, were there any witnesses that are racially classified as white?
Yes, they were all white. I work with nothing but white people. I am the only black person in my area for 3 football fields.
Okay, I figured in that case, then you might have a chance. If they're still willing to say what I think that they were saying in whatever this course of the trial or whatever it is, if they're going to be dependable enough to keep repeating it, then that may give you a chance or whatever it is as far as your employment is concerned.
Good question. Good question, retired firefighter. Yeah, that's definitely another one where you got to rely on suspected racists. Yeah, even if they are saying, yes, we're willing to testify, I would still suspect that they're racist. And, ooh-wee, if this lasts a year,
can I be heard?
If this lasts a year,
and you have to rely on racists to be steadfast for a year. Ooh-wee. Mr. Steele.
Yeah, a very interesting call with the last caller. I'm curious to know, you mentioned that this process for you is getting very expensive. I'm wondering, why are your lawyers not hired on a contingency basis? They only collect if you win. That's, you know, my understanding that most employment disputes are handled in that way, or is there just too much money at stake in your case?
What do you mean by too much money at stake?
Oftentimes the cost associated with a case will make it so that it will be prohibitive for an attorney to go ahead and go forward with it because, you know, the cost associated with going after the people and then the case, it might not be strong enough. So if the case isn't strong enough there, then they're going to, they're going to take a retainer to represent you kind of more in a traditional sense. So I'm just wondering, in your particular case, how come the lawyer isn't, how come you're having to pay up front?
Well, I think the issue was, is he's not, his jurisdiction is in Los Angeles and it's not in Washington. So he has to filter out to other people, which that's where the cost is coming from. So it was like I said, I ran through a few lawyers already that were based up here that I deemed weren't suitable for the project because they weren't even communicating with me. I was communicating with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would get the I would get the updates of the court proceeding online because I had to look it up online. Like, this is, I just paid X amount of dollars to my lawyer to pay you, so you should be updating me.
You know, okay, so I just had one case settle recently, and I have another case pending. And I've gone through this experience with a few different attorneys, and I'll say that it's unless if your situation warrants your intervention, oftentimes, yeah, you are going to have to initiate calls to find out about, you know, the status of your case, simply because your case is, you know, one of so many that any given lawyer is looking at any given time. So if they're just going through procedural stuff and filing paperwork and everything like that, they're not going to necessarily keep you abreast to all of the minutia of the development. Okay. Now, this added expense of having to, quote, filter someone, is your attorney charging you up front because they're having to use intermediaries in your local area to do all of this? Is that what they're charging you up front for?
I don't, from my understanding of in reading the contract that I signed, it was practically, it was me paying for them to look for a lawyer up here that was willing to take the case. Because like I said, I tried to get a lawyer up here by myself without going through them to begin with. So it's not like, I haven't paid those people yet. What I'm paying is for their time to search out for other lawyers and things like that.
I think it sounds like you're getting hustled. Honestly, I think that you would be better served firing up Yelp, searching employment attorneys, and just cold calling and dialing down the line, talking about your case with the intake specialists that are at the attorneys or the attorneys themselves. Sometimes they have them themselves, but I mean, it sounds like you have some semblance of a case. I imagine this has gone through to the EEOC or the State Equal Opportunity Board in Washington, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, all right. So the process has been started. So you're not in a bad spot. If I were you, I would be a bit more proactive. If the EEOC has ruled that there's grounds for a lawsuit, then you should be able to retain counsel. I wouldn't ask too much from counsel. You know, I was in a settlement conference earlier, and a judge swore at me. Like he was using foul language, so I had to let him know, like, sir, you're a judge, and I don't appreciate to be spoken to like that. That said, if the judges are talking like that, then the culture of attorneys isn't necessarily one that I think is conducive to plaintiffs. I think that they see us as kind of like parasites or leeches or something like that. And they're not going to be inclined to necessarily treat you with the most respect or the respect that you would think that you would deserve, in a professional transaction. Just don't be, dismayed if a particular attorney is, short with you, or if you're not getting immediate progress reports on every single step, because that's above and beyond from what I personally experienced. That, you got to understand that your goal here is not necessarily to be friends with your attorney. Your goal is to extract justice out of Boeing. So you did a smart move by not accepting any offers that they have for, further employment. But I would you fire up, search employment attorney, file your case with whoever comes up, weigh out your options from there, express your concerns with previous counsel. Don't necessarily say that you've had four attorneys, because that might clue them in to, say, well, this guy might be a problem client. Just, go ahead and say, I'm just looking for somebody that has and is willing to talk to me. And then you should be good. Nobody should be taking money up front from you for this situation, as you've described it.
Appreciate that, Mr. Steele. Do we have any other suggestions for our caller in Seattle?
Check. Yes, I had wanted to just say that absolutely reminded me of the shirt that you have. It's like, please respect me as if I was a white person. Like how when I give you my money, you are the person that is supposed to be working for me. So can you please respect me like I'm a white person?
That is the shirt, victims, listeners. You can drop an email. Actually, I'm not going to give out my email anymore. There is an email for those shirts. So Gus T does not have to be pestered at all. Amen. You can drop an email to cowsshirt@gmail.com. COWS in capital letters. COWS shirt singular @gmail.com. Cows, COWS, all in capitals, shirt@gmail.com. Grand. Other folks, if you dialed in, if you have a suggestion for any people that we've heard from thus far, or if you have your own situation that you want to address, line should be open. Proceed.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Greetings, everybody. This is The Voice. I just wanted to give you guys an update on, I had a before I had an workplace racism lawsuit that I talked about it previously, but I didn't really go into detail. But at the end of the day, what happened was that after I got fired, even though I had stacks of evidence against the company, I waited too long. And the reason I waited too long, because I went through several different attorneys, and they wanted like $2,000, $3,000 upfront to take the case. So, like, I know Kent, Mr. Steele was saying about these attorneys are hustling you upfront. You know, not all the time that your cases are taken for free. A lot of these attorneys do want to get paid up front, and sometimes, you know, it's a lengthy case. So that was the thing. And people that's classified as blacks, it's hard for us because we don't have that extra fund to basically give that attorney up front. So I know I was one of those people. So while I was trying to get that money, you know, my time lapsed. So I wanted to call. I've been trying to get in on workplace racism, but due to my activities, it's very hard. But I wanted to make sure that I got in today because I'm in Florida, and I wanted to let people know that I had an attorney that I had gotten a car accident. So while I was talking to one attorney about the accident, I was telling him about my other case. And I thought I still had time because I wasn't aware. I thought I at least had a 2-year gap before everything, you know, was completely over with. But he didn't work on that type of case. He didn't do workplace discrimination. But he jot down all my information, all the things that I had against the company, and he forwarded that email to his colleague, which is somebody he knows that does that type of work. And she told me I had a extremely good case, but the problem is in Florida, you have up to 300 days after your incident. So that's roughly about 10 months. So that's why it surpassed to that. Now, there's a situation here in Florida that I am a part of, that I kind of was the backbone behind this whole situation. And it is dealing with housing. I know, I think retired firefighter, and I know a couple people here from Florida, they know how people who are classified as white, Hispanic descent, how they treat black people who classified as blacks horrible down here in Florida. There is a situation that just occurred the other day where a Hispanic male, white, has been outed on Channel 10 for racial practices against a black female here in the complex.
Is this about housing, or is this about workplace racism?
No, I was going to say it was about, the first one was about workplace racism, but I was just trying to, you know, let people know, like, about this situation. But, I mean, I can bring it on another program if that's...
Yeah, this
no,
is...
No, just part.
It's been... this broadcast is for workplace racism specifically. The other incident, if you could share it, if you have time, it would be grand if you could share it on the compensatory call-in this Saturday. It's at 9 p.m. Eastern. Okay. That would be awesome, just because people tend to tarry to other subject matter. So just trying to keep folks focused. But thank you so much for sharing. I do appreciate the information about the timetable, because I guess, and that's something that's going to be regional specific, depending on where you happen to be at. We've had people that are, you know, all over the globe. That's why it's a lot to know. So I guess that's good to know as well, to make sure if something happens and you are thinking about contacting an attorney to move briskly in terms of getting the paperwork filed and even knowing what the deadline is if you're thinking about pursuing that sort of issue.
Exactly. All right. Thank you. I appreciate it. I just want to get that information. Thank you.
For sure. For sure. Do we have any other folks that had suggestions on what we've heard thus far, or if you have your own situation, folks we've not heard from, line should be open. Proceed. Folks, we've missed. They're spectating, or I guess while folks are spectating for another second, I'll get in one of the other callers who was. And they wait for me interrupted. I waited 5 minutes and then they interrupt. I'm going to read my email just because you all waited so long. The person wrote in, black female. Thanks so much for the program. Find the information constructive. I'm still working on my code, aren't we all? I'm a student nurse. I've written a couple times. First incident. I was in a patient, white female, in a patient's room with a nurse, Asian female, and a doctor, white male. The patient was coughing so much she could hardly talk, but was still determined to make a racist joke. Come on, come on, come on, come on. The doctor asks, "How do you know what you have?" She says, "Well, when I was a child, my mother told me I had a black." She pauses, looks at me, and then says, "Lungs." She looks at me again, smiles, and almost chokes trying to laugh. The doctor holds her hand and smiles with her. Late 60s, meth user. I said drug user. That should be, I'm going to say that as often as I possibly can, because that should be factored in when dealing with race soldiers, that you're not just dealing with a racist. You're probably dealing with some sort of addict. And anyway, second incident happened a few years ago. I, black female with shoulder length locks, was working as a waitress. We did events all over the city. For this event, I served lunch at a museum for a group of white women. I was the only waitress working at this event. It was for about 25 white women. Yikes, this event was going fine, and I stood off to the side. Two white women approached me, complimented me on the good job I was doing, and then said, "We have to ask you the question." I was confused by the question. I say, "What is the question?" They said, "Is it real?" Still confused, I say, "Is what real?" "Your hair." I was shocked and confused. So I repeat the question, "Is my hair real?" Both smile and say, "Yes." "Yes, my hair is real." She says some other stuff, then tells me about her white daughter that has locks also. I stood there smiling uncomfortably and nodding. Then I said I have to go do something and walked away. Now I think I would ask more questions before I answer her question. I am often in shock when these situations happen, and I need to be better prepared for them. Unfortunately, they happen often. Absolutely, which is why sharpening that code, that's what all of us should be working on for any of these sort of just tacky, like totally out of the blue, random questions or inquiries. Just the immediate deflection. I think ignoring is a great one for many of these. If that's not a tactic, if this is someone that you have to have some sort of rapport with, right? Like you're going to be with them on a regular basis. I'm always about being concise where this doesn't become a long conversation piece and then we pivot back to work. I think some of our listeners, compensatory conversation control, they ask a question, even if it's crazy, you know, "Where do you get your hair cut? You're going to be wearing a do-rag this weekend?" I talked about that last week. Whatever you're going to say, and then you pivot back to work. You know, "What are we going to be doing for that 12 o'clock meeting?" Pivot immediately back to work so we don't bog down in all of the tackiness. And if need be, you can just exit. "I need to, you know, step out for a second if this is happening at your area. If you're in another part of the building, oh, I need to exit and make a phone call really quick. Excuse me," but just, you know, we're not going to entertain a whole lot of nonsense on the job about foolishness. Keep it business. You can be cordial. In fact, you should be cordial. Speak all of that, but we're just not going to be talking about nonsense. That's it. Other folks, Thomas in New York, I heard you. Did you have commentary you wanted to share, sir?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry I had to unmute myself. I apologize for earlier, Gus. Technology problems. Yesterday I was forced to go to lunch with all my coworkers. It was appreciation lunch for administrative workers at the firm. And it was, we had administrative day last week. They gave us all a nice gift card. And this was the ensuing lunch, I guess, to also show their appreciation. It was during work hours, so there was no way to get away from it. So I went, and it was at a very nice Italian restaurant. There was some drinking, but none of the white people drunk, which I thought very interesting. The few of the non-white people did have a glass of wine with their meal, but none of the white people drunk, and their reason for saying it, why they didn't drink, is they don't know when to stop. So I thought that was very interesting. As far as questions, I've been told that I have to ask this terrorist that's been terrorizing me. Anytime anything gets done that she doesn't agree with, it's why didn't you come and ask me? And it's like, well, this is my job. I mean, I did the job. You just don't agree with the way it was done, but it's done. And, so her thing is you come ask me for everything. So instead of not asking too many questions, I've been told I have to ask more and more questions to appease this white woman because she wants to be involved in every decision that I make. That's the reality. As far as the trade school, I thought that was interesting. I thought it was a very misleading clip because a lot of those jobs are not going to be around in the future, such as a mechanic. In the year 2020, Germany already has all their three major auto, Volkswagen, Mercedes-Benz, and BMW are all slated to discard the combustible engines, and they're going to engine that only has three pieces that could be popped out and put in by the person themselves. So I don't really see that being a viable option. Maybe construction will still be big. I would say if you're going to take a trade school, go to a school or even take an online course yourself where you can learn coding and programming, because that's going to be pretty much the only jobs available in the future, by 2025, as they have, the white people have put out themselves. I'll mute my line. Thank you.
Appreciate that. Other folks that we missed completely, if you have either your own situation or if you have suggestions, counter-racist suggestions for anything that has been shared thus far, the line should be open. Proceed.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Greetings, everyone. I've had a few instances at work, and actually the past 2 weeks it's been packed with continual incidences, but yesterday was something that I wanted to share as soon as possible, and there was one previous that I think was really interesting, but it's not as pertinent. I work manual labor, and I work with a superior. He's my supervisor, but it is often said that we work as a team. We work together, but we do not work as a team. It is very apparent that I am the subordinate, and oftentimes I am treated explicitly as such. Yesterday, I was asking this individual if they had seen a piece of equipment. And the reason I asked is because I looked in the room in which we have been working at this construction site. I probably looked for about 2 minutes and I didn't see it. So I went by where he was working and I asked him, "Have you seen this piece of equipment?" And his response was, "That's not my responsibility." Now, technically, he is correct that it is not his responsibility. It's actually my responsibility to unlock all the equipment at the beginning of the day and to put it away at the end of the day. But that procedure is not followed strictly, depending on how tired this individual is and how quickly he wants to go home and drink. Some of the equipment may be left out and unlocked. And I thought about what he said for a moment about that not being his responsibility, because I actually had gone to the union on this individual before for a prior safety issue. And after that meeting, in which it was determined he was wrong, the talk quickly shifted to working as a team and, you know, making sure we're communicating. And so that prior incident of me taking him to the union in that terminology of us working as a team came to the forefront of my mind when he told me yesterday, that's not my responsibility. So I went and looked for that piece of equipment. I found it, and I continued my work while I stewed upon whether or not I wanted to bring to his attention the previous conversations that we have had regarding teamwork. And I think that is often a hard thing for victims to negotiate and navigate, because if we were to bring up every incident that affects us at work, then there would be no work. There'd just be endless conversation of this incident and this incident. So, you know, you get to this place where you're trying to determine if this is noteworthy. And so I thought about that for about an hour. And then I decided to just make a mental note and also a note in my on my calendar. And if this incident occurred again, then I'd make a determination. Well, about an hour and a half passed. And we began working in the same location this time. And oftentimes he'll make a comment or he'll say something, but if it's not pertaining to work, I just keep working. So the comment he made was, man, I gotta piss. And I didn't acknowledge it. And he was pretty frantic, and because we are on a deadline. And so we worked for about another 5 minutes. And he said, man, I got to go. I really have to pee. So he left. But prior to him leaving the actual construction site area, he was probably maybe about 15 feet away from me. He was walking out and called my name. And I said, yes. And he asked me this question. The question was, are your hands clean? Now, that question may seem like a benign question to anyone. It may be very confusing. But to those who understand and have been in this environment, this terroristic environment, that question is not a question. When that question is asked after someone has announced that they are going to the bathroom, that suggests that the person who's being asked the question should hold the penis of the person who is to be urinating. So he said that, and I became very quiet in my mind and very focused. And so I looked in my immediate surroundings and I saw a bucket. And I grabbed the bucket and I sat down on it. Now, anyone who's ever done manual labor of any kind, it is a no-no. It's anathema to sit. Even if you are working and it is more productive to sit while you work, you do not sit, you kneel. And so I sat. And he was gone for probably about 10 minutes because he probably smoked too. He's a habitual smoker and smokes on the construction site and in places where he's not supposed to smoke. And he returned, and I was looking off intently into the distance, focusing my thoughts. And he came back and he said, what are you doing? And I didn't answer him for about 10 seconds. And then I looked up at him and I said, let's talk. And he walked over to me, and he was probably about 4 feet away from me, and I continued sitting on my bucket. And I said, I have my limits. I said, earlier today, I asked you the location of a piece of equipment. You told me that it was not your responsibility. And I said, technically, you're right, according to policy and procedure. And if you want to follow policy and procedure, I have no problem obliging policy and procedure in accordance to what I'm responsible for in this job. I said, but 2 days ago, you asked me if I would fetch you 3 bottles of water from your truck, which is not my responsibility. And he said, can I say something? I said, no. I said, I'm not finished. He said, okay. I said, but that also let me know that you have within your ability to be nice when you want to get something from me that you do not want to do. Now, you pulled rank on me earlier today because you didn't want to answer my question in terms of where this piece of equipment was. And I don't feel comfortable working with you. If you're going to be pulling rank and then you're going to incrementalize your abuse in your position of power by making a sexually suggestive and abusive comment when you have no idea if I have any sexual trauma in my history and it's none of your business to begin with. I said, number one, I'm a person with dignity. And I said, number two, I have people I have to go home to who you will never meet that I have to be a person to at the end of the day. And you make it very challenging if I'm going to be dealing with this level of disrespect. And then I stopped talking. And then he said, I'm sorry, it'll never happen again. And immediately I got up off the bucket. I said, okay, what's the next task? Now, I've said this before in this program. I have my own code. My code is such. If you can fire me or if you can influence somebody to fire me, we are not friends. I have another general code outside of work and wherever else. I don't joke if we're not friends. If you don't know what my limits are, you don't know what my boundaries are, if you can't speak intelligently on intimate parts of my life, you are not to be joking with me. You don't know me like that. But this joking, this jest, this horseplay is it's very central to being terrorized and abused, especially in the workplace, because whatever is said can be denied later as all sarcasm, or we're just joking, or you're a bud, and you're, hey, you know, you're part of the team, right? And this, I think this is why it's really important that you find out what your code's going to be, that you stay on it as much as possible. And if you find yourself falling off a code or trying to appease when it's going to compromise you later, find some other methods of trying to stick to your code. You go get a drink of water. I have to use the restroom. Oh, I have to take this call. But these individuals are very shrewd, and they know what it is that they're doing. They know how to fix themselves to appear a certain way, but very often they can't maintain it because it's not necessarily in their nature to do that. It's in their nature to abuse people, regardless of their position of power. So I just thought I wanted to share that to individuals because this may, something very similar may have occurred to the other victims at work, and they might not have been able to interpret it, or they'll hear certain comments or questions and they may not be able to make the connection. And there's always a reason. So thank you all for listening, and I will meet my line.
Thank you for sharing, sir. I said frequently a lot of the things that we talk about are not the most fun. Being sexually harassed on the job, certainly not the most pleasant thing to share in a public forum, but I think it's critically important. And we've heard this manifested in so many different ways on the job. I'm reminded of Thomas in New York, I think just like a month or so ago, when he was carrying some heavy boxes or what have you in the building, and some race soldier came by and tried to grab his groin area and said, oh, you know, your zipper was down. I was just trying to help, you know, being neighborly. We're a team, you know, I got your back. That sexual terrorism on the job is constant. And I mean, to just really be bedrock, as a caller just said, be bedrock about your code and to have that up front so that we're not stunned, regardless of what form it takes. If it's a comment, like in this case, something verbal, If it's a physical form, if it's reaching, if it touched any of that, to just already be thinking, it is very likely that this sort of thing could happen from a white man, white woman, white child. What am I going to do? And just go ahead, get that in your mind so that you're not stunned, you're not caught off. That will not be you. I cannot believe that that won't be you. I thought this sort of thing could happen. I had planned for what I was going to do in that case. And I don't know if you had already planned, if you had your code together in case anything, any sort of sexual terrorism like that took place on the job. But just high commendation for having the black self-respect to check that immediately. And a lot of times that's just what's got to be done. I've said consistently, when you have racists, sexual predators, sounds like we got both here, they will just continue to see how much they can do. How much can I do? How much can I say? How much can I do on the job? Oh, if I can say that. Oh, sure. Your hands clean. Say that one. Oh, okay. Add a little bit more. Just add a little more. Just keep going and keep going and keep going. Walter Beach III, he was on the program with us towards the end of 2017. He said, at the knees, man. Cut it at the knees. The very first time is going to be the last time. Any sort of sexual commentary. That's the way that I go about it. And exactly as he said with the jokes, that's been bedrock cow's code with regards to workplace for years. We have been suggesting, lots of us here, I think Roz, retired firefighter, Emmy, I am not hee-hawing and joking and participating in any of the shenanigans that are going on in the workplace. Even if it's not directed at me, I'm not in that at all. I am here to be serious work. I would much rather be thought of as being too serious or whatever it is, as opposed to I'm hee-hawing it up and then bam, the joke is on me. Thank you again for sharing, sir. Do we have any folks we missed? Anybody with a hand up that we missed totally?
Yes, greatest can I be heard?
Ooh, heard two people. Was there?
Was there a female?
Hi.
Yeah, she can go ahead.
Thank you. This caller from the 712, everybody. I hope everybody is dealing with it as best they can. I have some workplace racism here. With I'm in sales, and so I sell stuff to people, and we have scripts that we have to go by. And one day I put in an extra sentence in the script, and I started getting all these sales, like 12 sales a day, 8 sales a day, 13 sales a day. And I guess they went back and listened to my calls, and they said that I put that extra sentence in and I shouldn't be doing it. And I had to go, I had to stick to the script. I wasn't lying or anything to the customer. I just put an extra sentence in. So I had to quit saying it. So I went back to the regular script, and a month passed by, and there's another site that was off the charts for sales. It was like five agents that were like daily 15 sales, 27 sales. And so we at our site, we wanted to see what they were doing that was so good. And they were using the exact same sentence that I used when I was getting those scripts. And we talked about it, and we tried to get our supervisor to talk to that other site or ask them, you know, why are y'all saying this? And you just told an agent not too long ago that she couldn't say this. And he came back and told us that he doesn't have any power like that. He can't go up the ranks. And at this site, this is like a top site and the main site. And if we complained about it, they wouldn't say anything about it anyway. And you know, nothing was done. And so that's my workplace racism that I had to report today. And hopefully I will be able to report some more. Well, no, I don't want to be able to report some more, but you know what I'm saying. Okay, thank you.
Indeed. Thank you for sharing, man. That's so important on so many levels, because I think a lot of us can attest to our ideas being taken and used where other people get all of the accolades, and I don't know if there's promotion or compensation or raise or bonus or peanut butter sandwich or anything, but for things that you did, you came up with this sentence, and they're just going and copying. Well, that's pretty common, but I mean, why it could have just been, you could have just kept saying it. They just don't put your picture up there, and you don't get all the hoopla and what have you, but no, you get chastised for saying it. They pick it up, start saying it, and boop, knock it out of the park. Greatest sales representatives in the history of the company. That is the system of racism, white supremacy. Again, I'm of the opinion, I think, at least from a mental standpoint, when we're not stunned about these types of things happening, we're not surprised. I think we had that caller who did like a $500,000 sale gift for her university, and then some white person came in and made a false allegation, contributed nothing, but still ended up with half of the gift, the sale, if you will. That is the world in which we live. But I mean, that's trifling all the way around. And it seems to me that they are, again, valuing white supremacy over profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, because, hey, we could have just made more money. Let the Negro, you know, continue saying the script. We could change the script. Someone made that in the first place. It's not like it's the Ten Commandments or something. We could have just edited the script. No. We don't want that Negro on here making all the sales. Stop saying that. Go back to saying it the other way, even if that means you don't make any. So you lose money and we lose money. That's fine. Racism, white supremacy is more important. That's what it says to me, unless I'm in error. The male caller, thank you for yielding the floor, who spoke simultaneously. Did you want to share?
Sure. Greetings to Gus, all the listeners and the callers. So I've been wanting to call in, but I didn't want to be too negative and too uncodified. So I have been managing my anger a little bit better, but as expected, racists figure out that they're not getting to me, so they come up with new tactics. So basically, I deliver parts to a production area, and I'm supposed to work with a line set schedule. However, I have not been getting my line set schedule because I suspect this one suspected racist either is throwing them away, or he's the one who's taking them when they're printed out and putting them back into the printer, which he told me that he mysteriously found them, and I reported that to my supervisor. It stopped for a while, but started happening again. Then when they saw that that wasn't getting to me, they started to tamper with the carts that I have to deliver. So the carts, they have a foot brake on it. So that way, when you put the foot brake on it, you can take the whole gas tank to the truck. You can put it on a hoist and lift it up, and the cart wouldn't like swing around. They're moving the foot brake directly onto the wheel. Now, they have to physically move it to a specific area for me to load it onto like a little buggy, and I drive the buggy. The buggy can pull a small vehicle, so there's no way that a human being could move it, and then the buggy is having trouble moving it. So I suspect that they're pushing it to this specific area. Once they get it to this area, they readjust the foot brake and push it up on one of the wheels. Then they tighten the bolts up, so that way when I try to move it and I'm trying to pull it across, it's barely budging. Also, another homoerotic thing that's going on the workplace is that I notice when I'm at a urinal, it'll be nobody else in the bathroom, and one of these suspected racists, they'll come to the next urinal and clear their throat. And it's making me really uncomfortable, and I'm starting to lose patience again, and I'm kind of wanting to just put hands on at least one of these people, and I know it's nothing good is going to come out of it, but I don't know, for some odd reason, I'm thinking it'd probably make me feel better. I'm just getting frustrated all over again, and they're coming up with new tactics. I'm trying to stay patient because I don't want to get in trouble, and I do have to pay bills, but
I don't know. It's just frustrating.
Before I respond, Vincent Woodard, The Delectable Negro, Human Consumption and Homoeroticism in U.S. Slave Culture in Gus's Top 10. New edition. We did read it on the book club. In fact, you can go back in the archives to hear the audiobook. With the urinal situation first, since the sexual terrorism keeps coming, that's the way I'm processing that. It sounded like we were in agreement there. With that situation, I would, I don't know if they have like the stalls there, but I mean, that sounds like that might at least prohibit some of the sexual terrorism to just use the stall every time. And that's another one in terms of just being direct. And that's when you can ask a question. Is there a reason that you're standing right here every time that we're in the restroom when there are available stalls? You can figure out questions that you want to ask. I wouldn't mind doing the stall thing either, particularly if it seems like that they are stalking you to the restroom, meaning like if the restroom area is vacant, and then when you decide that you have to go to the restroom, now all of a sudden other people have a bowel movement too, like that. Whoa. Also, this is one of those for everything that you described. I think Mr. Fuller suggests using the term subversive activity and phrasing it that it's not subversive activity against you. It's subversive activity against the company. All of these shenanigans, they are damaging company property. This is not, I'm just messing over a Negro. I mean, that's what they're doing. But, I mean, you're damaging company property. Not to mention you're wasting time. Are you doing this on work hours when you're coming in and violating, vandalizing property? Come on. That, I am real certain. I don't like speaking for other folks, but I'm real certain that's how Mr. Fuller would phrase that. That is subversive activity against the company. We got a mole here, I've heard him say. And that's the way that you can report that one, where it's not, I am a victim. What is going on here? Why is this even being allowed? Everybody should be up in arms about this. We got to waste time and go and repair the carts. And who is wasting time on company hours going around doing this to begin with? That's the way I would probably deal with that one, as opposed to the racism, the frustration aspect. We've talked about that before a lot on the broadcast. Really important, because that stress right there when you're angry and you're walking around frustrated because they're doing all this stuff to mess you up and make you late and just violate and have it be difficult for you in your job and to make you angry. Huge aspect of it. They know that this is to upset you, to make you uncomfortable. Let's go in the bathroom, see if we can sexually violate him, stand next to him and all that. I would really value mental health. If you're feeling yourself getting upset, if you need to stop, take time away, if you need a mental health day, whatever you need to do. I mean, really, really take that seriously. I think we had a caller, several callers, not just one, many callers who talked before about feeling frustrated to that point of feeling like it might become a physically violent thing. That is really serious. That is critical. I think Dr. Welsing, as a mental health professional, would address it that way herself. Really, anything that you can do in them, if they're saying something, whatever they're doing, if you can take some space, meditate, there are lots of different things that we can do to just breathing exercises, breathing techniques, to just kind of help so that you're not getting frustrated, so that you can think clearly and make great decisions, decisions that will not cause, you know, additional problems. You putting your hands on someone is probably not going to minimize problems, as you already know. Let's see, I guess I'll stop. I was going to see if we had, I know we have other people who haven't shared, but I'll just pause. Do we have any folks who have suggestions? Feels like we heard so much from a lot of newer folks that called in. Any folks who have suggestions for folks that we've heard from?
Yes, sir.
Retired firefighter.
Yes, sir. On the last caller, I'm not going to make a distinction on whether or not he is young or not, because it may not matter at all. The only thing that I can say, and I'm basing this on experience, because I had similar issues. They are making you directly a target, because just like on the slave ship, white people have done studies of their prey, of their victims, to study our everything about us.
They know more about us than we know about ourselves through all of those centuries of study. And I said that to say that they have studied you and know where your limitations are as far as anger. And unfortunately, because the system of racism and white supremacy is just what everybody on this program says it is, they are very crafty on what they do. And it states that they're not going to stop. They're going to be, you're going to see more because of your reaction to it. I don't know if it's designed to get you to quit the job. I don't know exactly, or it may be some actual physical action they want to take out on you. But I would say personally, if to have a level of expectations to things, as was suggested, as opposed with the bathroom issue. When I'm thinking about a urinal, I'm thinking about more of a situation where there's less boundaries of privacy to go into the more. Most bathrooms have a more private situation where the commode is at. Now that person has to become more obvious in their mistreatment of you, which would place the pressure more or less on you and more on them. And in turn, under your expectations, make it an understanding that this is the expected behavior that I have to deal with. Because with myself personally, I remember because I, according to what others have told me when I was on the job, that I had a very angry presence, to whereas it was generated as intimidating. Now, white people would say they're really not scared of me or anything like that, and they could harm me anytime they wanted to, but that was a label that they applied. So cases, you know, unless it's something like Saturday night, but it wasn't. And he said very loudly, yes, hit me, boy, so you can lose your job. After he said loudly, hey, stop the socializing and get on with your work, as far as quote unquote helping him, said that very loudly. And basically I was going to answer to him physically. I was in the process of doing it. I had my hand on his throat. Now, it's essential that you avoid into solving a problem that you create more. It only would get worse for you. I would hate to see you in prison contemplating on the mistakes that you may have made. Maybe you have a family, ones of siblings and parents and whatnot, as well as children and whatnot. And I would hate for you to get to that point and then think about all of those things that you could be contemplating on. Well, maybe I could have made a better choice in the idea. This is the system of racism and white supremacy. That's the best way I can place it. And it is a hell of a challenge. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Can I be heard?
Context of white supremacy, Thomason, New York, proceed.
Absolutely. Man, I never would have put someone ask me if I wash my hands as a sexual, but that's interesting. I learned something new today. However, what if you sat down on that can and you woke up and say, you know, I want to speak to you. He says, get back to work. Get up. I mean, you put yourself in a real compromising position then, because you might want to retaliate. What if he said, you know, nigga, get up. You know, I mean, this is the system. I don't think I would have handled it that way. But, I mean, you said it's your code and, you know, that's how it works. So. That's all I wanted to say, because I had never heard that before as a sexual connotation, but I will from now on take it that way, because he didn't come back and say, as a man, I would have said, man, what you talking about? So
out of everything you said, I would have defended that. I mean, what you talk about some sexual shit, you know, and he didn't even, he just said, okay. So obviously it must be. And that gentleman who tried to zip up my pants, he has a cane. He also, one day as he walked past me, and I was carrying something, pulled his cane up like he was trying to hit me in the nuts, you know, and I would jump back again, you know, and he kept walking. I meet my line. Thank you. I have some more to say on another story later, Gus.
Yes, sir.
Can I be heard?
I feel like I heard multiple individuals at once. The individual who said, can I be heard? Yes.
That is the construction worker who was sitting on the canvases in response to Thomas in New York. Yes, that particular question is to suggest that if your hands are not clean, you should go wash them so you can tend to me doing this task. It's a metaphor, double entendre. And I think it's really interesting that on the compensatory call-in, it's very emphasized to shy away from metaphors because there's so much within their language that can have double meanings in very abstract meanings. I think one, so that they can deny later. But the second thing too is that one, he admitted by apologizing. Two, when I recounted the story, I told him what that meant to me. But as a collective, they know what that means. Three, I have that conversation recorded. I record my conversations every day. And then whenever there's an incident, I will highlight that in my Google Calendar and write my notes in there so that if I lose my phone or something like that, I can always bring that back up. And I'll highlight certain I purposely have my notes there. I have categories in the types of instances that can occur at work. So one will be sexual, one will be explicitly racial, one will be, but I have that so I can go in there and search. And then I will flag that in my calendar as red. But engaging, I have this already in mind. They don't know. And if they did know, I don't care. I have it recorded. And you're doing something that's not allowed according to policy and procedure. But they can be very cunning. They're very cunning. And as far as the individual who is being terrorized at work and who they're trying to, it seems, to incite him into a violent act. There's a few things that I have done that have helped me. And one way that I can prepare if I'm clear-minded in the morning, sometimes on the way to work, I will kind of take a guess, almost as a game to myself. Well, what are they going to do today? What is the new thing I've never seen? And sometimes I internally reward myself. I caught that. I knew that was going to happen. But I'll still note that. Also, as a technique, if you're unsure about situations that may occur and you're not sure how you're going to respond, for me, I have a very vivid imagination. Sometimes I will imagine what is the worst possible thing, outcome that this could have. And I will kind of think about that. And for me, as I think about that, I become more focused and more aware. And then it's just a thought exercise. You may want to do that maybe not on the day before you have work, maybe on a long weekend, kind of think about these things. But I kind of do that as a thought exercise because I found that when the situation happens, it's usually not as bad. It can be as bad as what I have thought, but I have kind of practiced that in my mind beforehand, and I'll mute my line.
Before you, Terry, I just wanted to say really quick, that was music to my ears, hearing the codification that record every conversation and have detailed folders. Sexual terrorism happened today. Racial terrorism. Music to my ears to hear that sort of precise codification. What sort of recorder do you use on the job, sir?
I have a thumb drive, and actually I sent you a email about maybe about a month ago saying that I would detail What my codification is, I have yet to come to that, but I have not forgotten. It can be pricey. I think I paid $120 for it. And I have washed it in the washer by accident twice. And I have tried it out after each occasion, and it still works wonders. And it picks up audio from at least 100 feet away. Even in the noise room, it's very clear. It's probably about 2 inches long. And I actually sent a picture to a listener via you not that long ago. Let me see if I have the case for it still. But I mean, I see it as an investment. And oh, here, I have it right here. Here's the case. It says, okay, $139. It is made by a company called Record Your Life Inc. And it says professional USB voice recorder. Unique features, time stamping, ultra long time. I think it records for 18 hours. It has 25 days of standby mode. So if you haven't charged it in 25 days, on the 24th day, you can still use it. It holds 8 gigabytes of data. And it says the recording time it can actually hold. Let's say you don't transfer your file to your computer every day. I try to once a week. It says it can record 288 hours total time if you don't transfer your file. So 288 hours of time, that's a lot of time. Also, when I transfer my files, I rename the file for the date of whenever that recording was made. So then when I go back into my Google and I'm pulling up my notes, like, oh, that's the file. I can go to this file. There's another part of my code that I try to add, and it's kind of, it can be kind of tedious. Whenever incident occurs, I try to remember about the time and put that into my note as well, so I don't have to go through the entire data to try to find that recording. And the reason I say that is if you get to a situation, you need to talk to a lawyer, or you get to a situation, you need to be called into work, and they say, hey, we need you to show up at work on Tuesday. You're getting written up for something. You may want to have that ready. Now, me personally, as my codification, I would not present that to work. I would present that to a lawyer first. Because, you know, I'm just not really about showing my hand prematurely. And I'll mute my line.
Spectacular. You certainly, for listeners out there, you don't have to spend $140. That sounds like a high-end product that our listener seems pleased with. It's working well, but you can get a device that does not cost that much that will still work and can probably benefit you in the workplace. But I try to ask folks who are using the recorder, have found that has worked well in their workplace codification, to ask them how much they paid and how they're using it, what type of device. More resources. Was there a female caller who spoke up a moment or two ago? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, can I be heard? Yes, I just wanted to say for the caller that was experiencing the coworker going into the bathroom and him being targeted. He is definitely being targeted. Those are tactics that they're using, taking pictures of me, recording me, all kinds of crazy stuff. So I just wanted to say, like, I just really feel for this guy. I totally understand how he feels. Like the firefighter stated, it sounds as if they're trying to pit him into acting out, into physically assaulting him, one of the coworkers. So I don't know what he can do in regards to that. Maybe he can try to look for something else, but it does definitely sound like he's being targeted on that job. And that's I'll mute my line.
Context of white supremacy. Are there folks that we've not heard from at all? Any callers that we missed completely?
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to just share my experience. Can I share experience right now?
Sure.
Okay. There's a white worker
Actually, I'm the only, there's only two blacks on the job where I work. And excuse me, I've had a couple conversations with at least one of the white workers. And I, at one point, kind of considered them as a friend. We have, you know, kind of general conversation. We talk about fishing, different things, gardening, different things like that. And so when we had conversations about fishing, we'd talk about different types of fish that I would catch. And then sometimes if he went fishing, he would talk about kind that he would catch as well. Didn't he? So this past, it was last week or so, it was last week, he was in the hall talking to another white coworker, and I was walking on the way to get some tea to the cafeteria area. And he, since we've talked before in the past about a type of fish called porgies, and so as I'm walking by, the only thing he says as I'm walking by, he just stops the conversation. He's saying, talking with the other white gentleman, and he just says to me, he just says, "Pogies," and you know, not porgies, but pogies. And I just kind of repeated it, pogies, and I just wait, porgies, and I just kept on going, you know, and went and got my tea, and then came back, and they were still talking, and I didn't say anything else to them, but it just kind of struck me, but wait a minute, did he just mispronounce it intentionally, you know, at pogies? That's kind of like, you know, the way, or kind of maybe mimicking what maybe some black people may say or pronounce it or so. But again, it just kind of struck me that, wait a minute, did he just do that? You know, and times when it would kind of catch me by surprise where they would do things like that, where after listening to, you know, the show, I'm kind of getting a little bit more familiar with, you know, they will just do things out of the blue, say things without any, seemingly any warning, you know, and just kind of catch you off guard doing some type of racist behavior. Anyway, another situation, started to let my facial hair grow a little bit, and one of my direct reports, we were on a WebEx type webinar, and I've got my camera on me, and the first thing he says, whoa, wait a minute, I thought that was James Harding, you know, with reference to my beard. So I didn't really think too much about it at first, but then I was like, after a while, you're like, wait a minute. You know, you're making reference to him because I'm black and he's black. And that's really the only reason why you said him, right? Another situation, I went to apply for a part-time job and and then kind of looked away and still approaching me, and then finally introduced himself, you know, who he was. He's the supervisor and so on. And then he saw my name. He said, so he asked, are you any relation to so-and-so? And he mentioned another person with my same last name. And I said, well, no. He says, well, man, you look just like him. He's the same body, same everything. Looks just like him. He's a really nice guy. I went to school with him. You know, he works down in such and such area. And later on, we go into the aisle, we talk about the position and some of the responsibilities, and he makes reference to, you know, for this position, you know, sometimes we get older people that come in, and sometimes they don't realize that they have to lift X amount of weight, and, you know, you have to lift at least 50 pounds. He says, looks at me, says, you know, with you, that'll be no problem at all to lift that amount of weight. So, you know, in times past, I wouldn't have thought much about that. But then, you know, now it's like, okay, you just kind of, you know, you're saying that because you're kind of thinking that all blacks can lift, you know, hard labor type people, they can lift a lot of weight and all. Or also, you know, all black people look the same. So, you know, you remind me of this guy so much. You look just like him. So that's one last thing. I was in my position, in my management type position. I was kind of wanting to look at how I was going to, you know, continue to proceed and kind of track my progress or start looking at higher positions to strive for. And so I had a conversation with my manager during my review, and when we had this review,
he told me at the time, well, the next step up would be this next position, you know, if you really wanted a higher bump in pay. And so that was back in like December timeframe. So we had another mid-year review, and so we were talking. I was asking the question, okay, so how do I get to this next step of this position? And he says, well, you know, later on he comes back and says, well, we already moved you to that position. I said, really? He says, yeah. So we have a short conversation. The next day he comes in and says, yeah, we already moved you to that position. And so I go and I look online to our system, and it gave me a title of this next level position. And I'm saying, well, how is that? That I didn't know that I was at this position. There was no increase in pay. So, you know, we kind of went back and forth. So we finally had a conversation a couple of days later with the HR director, and then come to find out that it wasn't a new position. It was a family title rather than a position title. And so there was no increase in pay for that family title that was showing up rather than a position title, still in the same position title. So what I'm getting at is the manager or my director really didn't know what position I was at. And at one point saying I'm already there, or at one point saying that I, you know, this would be the next step, next conversation, oh, well, you're already there. So he really didn't know where I was at in my position. I didn't really know. And the thing that I really took away from all of that was when before, as we were preparing to have the conversation with the HR department, I literally just sat down and I wrote down a whole bunch of questions. Again, this is kind of after listening to your show and kind of asking more of the company type questions, you know, rather than just, oh, well, you're doing this to me because I'm Black. No, no. Is this the company policy to give people titles without a bump in pay? You know, and so those are the questions I was already kind of writing out and being getting prepared before we actually had the conversation. So those are things I wanted to share. And again, with listening with the show, just kind of helped me to think through some of the questions I should ask when we have that sit-down conversation with, you know, my boss or with the managers and with the HR department and so on. What are some of the company policy type questions? You know, is this common practice to give people a title without a pay raise? You know, so that's it. I just wanted to share those things. Appreciate you coming to the show. Thanks.
Thank you for sharing with us, sir. Questions, talked about that consistently, getting better at asking questions and just making time to ask questions so that you can learn more on the job. A lot of times that'll be your first and maybe only line of defense is asking quality questions, sometimes timely questions. I was just going to ask really quick, the individual that you identified as one of your white friends, do you still think of this individual as a friend?
Well, I tell you what, I really at one point used to think that I had a lot of white friends there. And then after listening to the show for quite over a year now, I'm starting to rethink everything. I'm really starting to rethink and not really considering early any or not considering any of them as friends. Mm-hmm. Again, because I'm just kind of seeing some of these little racist behaviors that pop up here and there. That's like, you know what? That's not the type of friends I want.
Right on. I do. I think I said this when we were on the air on Tuesday. I don't use the term microaggression. No act of white supremacy racism is little. Context of white supremacy. Any folks that we missed completely? Anybody that we've not heard from at all who does have a hand up?
Weird.
Greetings, Ivy.
Greetings, Gus. Greetings to all the callers on the line. I want to say to the gentleman who is being targeted at work, that I too am sorry that you have to go through what you're going through. And I agree with everyone on the line. Like, they're definitely targeting you. And I believe, just like the woman who spoke previously, that they're targeting you specifically to put hands on them. or someone there. And I just would ask, you know, please don't give them what they want. It's a game to them, it seems, and that they, a game that they're trying to win, whether it be terminate you or put you in greater confinement, or, you know, if you're a black man, you know, cops like to kill y'all, especially like to kill black people, period, but especially black men. And there are other ways to remedy your situation. Document everything, report if you can. I mean, you're being harassed, you're being sexually harassed, sexually terrorized, as Gus eloquently stated. And, you know, I agree with you that if you put hands on them, it will feel good for a moment, and those racists will take it right back from you. They will take that good feeling right back from you and give you possibly a lifetime of pain. So you may feel good in a moment, and then you'll feel terrible, probably very, very soon. And these racists, they're not worth it. They're not worth all that you stand to lose. And I believe you said that you've been there for several years, and I commend you for, you know, just sticking it out all that time and putting up with all that. But you've come this far. Like, it's like a diet. Like, you know, I've lost so much weight, but you haven't, you know, made your goal. Don't start cheating now. So you come this far, and you've put up with so much, and you've been so strong. Like, don't let these people, these racists, these terrorists break you down now, after all that you have been through. So just keep on doing what you're doing to withstand all of the terrorism that you're facing. And I really hope that you find some other answers as well. And I really wish you the best, and I hope that, you know, things get better for you, or that you get another job, or I really hope that you sue him and own that place. And I'll mute my line. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, God.
Indeed. Indeed. Other anybody else that we missed completely? Anyone who has a hand up that we've not heard from at all? We nab everyone. Didn't miss anybody.
Ooh. Good evening. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes. It's such a. I wanted to share something I heard from a not white black female, and she just shared this with me. So she works at a military facility. There is a new white girl or white woman, young white woman, I'm saying below the age of 30, that just reported on board, and she's going to assume a position of like a, you know, supervisor. Anyway, she's been there from what the non-white black female told me, that she doesn't speak to anybody that's considered under her, or, you know, the people that she supervised. She doesn't speak or anything. And there's a non-white, non-black female that works there that she supposedly is, or she is supposed to be supervising. They've had some conflict over some things. This white woman is really trying to exert her authority. She's saying that she's trying to enforce rules that aren't. She's basically making up rules and trying to enforce them, particularly on this non-white, non-black female. So anyway, today I guess she tried to enforce another rule. It was regarding some supplies. Someone from another location called to their workspace to ask for some supplies. It's all, we're all together. We work in different locations, but all our supplies come from the same place. We kind of divvy it up between the two locations. And so someone called from another location and talked to the non-white, non-black female for some supplies. So this female goes to the big supervisor, the supervisor of the whole location, and he okays it. White male, white man, he okays it. But then this white female gets mad and she gets upset at the other female, the non-white, non-black female, and say, "Hey, what are you doing? Why? Who authorized you to, you know, lend them some supplies or whatever?" And the female gets mad. She gets upset because they've had conflict before, so they kind of, I guess, yell at each other and kind of, you know, have some, you know, a little verbal match between each other. And then finally, the black female that I'm talking to that's telling me the story says she had to gather the two females up, the white one, non-white, non-black one, and another supervisor or like an intermediate supervisor, and they had a little conference, or they wanted to settle the conflict, try to mediate things, I guess. And then so they brought to the attention, hey, they told the white female, "Hey, you've come here, you've been very aggressive, you're trying to enforce a lot of rules, and you're really, you know, just being inappropriate." Oh, she's practicing racism, but she's been very aggressive and stuff like that. So the worst thing that could happen, the three W's, the weeping white woman, she started crying. This white girl, this white woman is in the military, and she's saying, "Oh, I'm a single mom. I'm a single mom. They sent me here to this location. I don't like it here. I'm not in charge of anything. I don't know what to do. I don't have a role, a position here. My husband, he doesn't help with anything. We have separate bank accounts," and she starts crying. "I'm not a very likable person," she says. This is what the black female tells me that she says. I'm just not like that. I've been told that before. People just don't like me." And she starts crying or whatever. So, and I guess, you know, this continued. They continue to talk it out or whatever. And, you know, I wouldn't say that it got resolved or anything, but basically they kind of did come to a temporary resolution to the conflict. You know, they kind of got things, most of the things out in the open. But it was just interesting to me that she, you know, she comes in and tries to exert all this authority, and then when she's confronted about it or whatever, she, you know, she starts crying. So, again, turning herself into the victim. And then she says she's a single mom, but she's not a single mom. She is married to another military member who's deployed. So she's using this as an excuse, like, okay, my husband is deployed, so I'm a single, quote unquote, single mom. Now, of course, you're there by yourself with the child or whatever, but you're not technically you're not a single mom. But another thing that she pulled to, you know, I guess try to be the victim in this case or whatever. And also, well, I'll share this maybe some other time, another smaller incident, but that's all I have to say. Thank you.
White women, slick as can be. The weeping white woman, especially. That is amazing. She went from talking, I mean, at least in a haphazard kind of way, talking about workplace issues, allegedly, and then it pivoted out to, "I'm a single mom," quote unquote, "and my coffee was bad this morning, and nobody likes me." And I mean, whoa, whoa, whoa. We were the weeping white woman in the workplace. Oh, man, that's an environment even still, because I was just talking about that on Tuesday. Even there, I would have to say something about that. I mean, my goodness, we're supposed to be professional. We got problems that we're trying to address. I mean, come on, man. Like, do you need some time to compose yourself? If you need to step outside, get some Kleenex and get it to, like, I would really work to pivot it away from, oh, let's all go console her and, you know, get her breakfast and a gift card. Like, no, come on, man. Like, this, do not allow them to pull it to the best of your ability, even in the workplace. The weeping white woman, try to intervene, because that can totally ruin everything. And she was the perpetrator in this case. And now it's anyway.
Thank you for sharing, sir. Other folks, anybody that we missed completely? Anybody that we haven't heard from at all? We nab everyone. Anyone we missed? We got everyone. Grand. Was there any other folks who had other comments they wanted to make sure they got in?
I forgot to add that I thought that the firefighter's commentary to the man who's being targeted at work was brilliant. So, you know, I advise listening to him. That's it. I'll meet my line.
Appreciate that. Absolutely. Any other folks have suggestions for what we've heard or any other comments they wanted to make sure they got in?
Man, that made me reminisce on my weekend white woman's story. I don't know if you remember, Gus, but white female who wanted to mock me because I was outside smoking a cigarette at the job, and you're going to catch cancer, and I made a complaint. And she started crying about her husband died from cancer. So any white female who says she killed a black boy, you know.
Yeah.
So I get this, some mail comes in, and it's from Paychex. And, you know, we do accounting. So several corporations that they do the accounting for, they get the records from Paychex. And they usually just come addressed to the company. So one was, you know, they just come and dress to the company. I have to open them up, look at the client, and then go through the computer system to find what person is in charge of that account and then allocate it to them. That's the way it works. So when I open one, it happens to be the paychecks for the firm I work for. So I was privy to see people's salary, and it was done in a quarterly fashion. And I would just like, Gus, I would love for you to take one guess for the 3 month salary of the white woman who's terrorizing me. And this was during the busy season.
3 month salary. So we're talking like a quarter of the year. Let's say 80,000.
62,000. I was close, but yeah, I was utterly appalled at this lady. I mean, she has nothing to do all day, but in the system of racism and white supremacy, she doesn't even have a college degree. I don't think. I know she comes from Ireland.
She went to trade school,
but maybe. Well, you know, you don't need a college degree if you're white. A couple of other white people who have very menial jobs and I don't think are very well educated that work there pulled in $40,000 for the 3 months. I mean, my measly little pay is nothing. But I said the next busy season, I will make sure I put in a whole bunch of hours and I see that they're all going to be signed off on without a problem. So I thought that was extremely intriguing when I saw that she made $62,000. And it's two busy seasons a year for accounting. So I would just say that's 120 for two quarters. And she probably gets, you know, way less than the other two where there's not that much overtime she can bill off. But I just thought that was extremely, extremely interesting. Oh, white female today at work asked me what did I think about Kanye West's comments. I said, well, what did he say? Of course I knew. So, he says black people chose to be slaves. So I said, really? Wow. I said, well, she's like, well, what do you think about that? So I said, so I'm like, man, slaves crazy. So I said, I'm going to have to think about it. And I walked away. So come the end of the day, she comes back over to me. And she asked me the same question. So at this time, I'm like, you know, I'm trying to get myself together. I'm trying to get out of here. So, you know, I said, well, I don't see nothing wrong with his comments. So she says, well, why would you say that? Da, 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 da. I said, well, I mean, the alternative would have been death. And some people did choose that over slavery. So, you know, in some respect, he's right. you know, some people so we could chose to deal with the consequences that would come as a result of, you know, not being a slave. So she says, oh, okay. And then she walked away. So I thought that was interesting.
Myself as well. Sounds like she wanted you to be upset. So that's why I said a lot of times with this, you know, they'll put former, you don't even see David Sheriff Clark anymore. I guess they don't even put him on TV anymore. I guess his time is done. But they'll do that. They'll just do things to agitate you. That comes up in a lot of different ways. And just to bring that up so that you can fuss and talk bad about another victim of racism. But it sounds like he wanted it to be a good old session where you could talk about that no good nigra, Kanye West, and say a few bad things about him. But not in another part of the workplace code. I don't care who the non-white person is. I don't care how much I dislike them. I am not going to talk bad about them in front of whites on the job. If I need to call them a coon, wait till you get at home and do that. Did we miss? I think we got any other folks that have comments they wanted to make sure they got in? Comment, question?
Yes, I had a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, first I wanted to say what Thomas and New York just said. I think it was brilliant. I think that's a great response. I'm going to have to use that. Some racists try to get me to denigrate Mr. West. But my question was, you know, what's up with this guest? You know, this yoga guest, and if she tries to reschedule again, are you going to accommodate her?
I'll have to see for next week. The she rescheduled. We were supposed to be on yesterday, and she asked to reschedule the time from before. I had to reschedule because of the white woman kicked me at the yoga class and all of the chaos from that. So she asked to reschedule one from yesterday. She asked one time from yesterday. If it happens again next week and all that, then yes, that would be definitely an issue.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much, sir. Greetings to Gus, the host, the listeners and callers. I have about four observations. The first one is there was a white woman on the job about 4 months ago, suffered, and I think it's called an aneurysm. And she was out for at least about a good month and a half. And apparently, I guess it turns out that she is going to have to retire. She's forced in retirement. So her vacancy has been filled, or, you know, they hired a new person. So the thing with that is the black female that I usually speak to about workplace racism, this white woman is in the same department as her. And apparently this person, because I seen her earlier this week, and she was in the human resources area filling out paperwork. And, you know, I guess when it comes to aneurysms and things like that, people can have a memory issue. So she recognized me. She spoke to me. I spoke back. And I had went on about my business, but this person is, I think, the white woman who is in HR is trying to get her some kind of benefits of some sort. And she has been going around asking, what does this person do? Like, what did her job entail? Okay. Like, what type of things is she doing on the job? Like, she had no idea. So I'm assuming she's gathering this kind of information so she can accumulate monetary benefits for this person. And just the way that it was communicated to me, that it seems like it is illegal. But white people will find a way to support and accommodate the needs of another white person. The second observation is there was a conversation I overheard. I was delivering an envelope to a lady that's in the cashiering area. And as I was approaching the office, they're like, we, okay, like, like, I just came into the door and there's a counter, a front counter in the civil area where people deal with child support and different, like, small claims, all kind of different cases. And the parents or the customers, sometimes they'll have children, and they will, like, the clerk, sometimes they will, I guess, ask to hold the babies or whatnot. They've been doing this for years. And this one of the ladies from the front counter, a white person, white female, she came down the stairs. She was holding a black baby. A white male was sitting down, and he says, "You have another black baby again? You got that black baby again?" And I couldn't remember what her response was. And I think she said, like, "Shut up" or something like that, or "Be quiet" or whatever, in like a joking fashion. And he was saying, "Well, you know, that baby ain't yours." And there's a new black person, black female, who just started last week, and she's sitting right by this guy. And this is the same person who I was sharing that they added an extension to his desk to stick out very far. So he's got an assistant supervisor position. So he made those comments. And I thought about, you know, Dr. Welsing, genetic annihilation. You see a white woman holding a baby with melanin, you know, in fear of, you know, genetic annihilation, and ultimately it was an act of white supremacy just by him saying that. And the black lady, she said something about, "Well, we need unity" or something. I just think that she was confused, so I just kept on walking. The third observation was, I had a customer call me back to get a refund, because when I had charged his account or his card, the machine or the program that we use has been having major glitches and bugs. So it charged his account twice for like $11.39. And back on April 25th, he said it charged him again, $11.39. So we already had to refund this guy. And this is a black male. Okay. We refunded him $11, but not $0.39. And then it happened to him again. So the people were saying, well, he might be making this up. But he got to call his bank. But it turned out that this was our fault, or pretty much the vendor who helps facilitate the payments. So the racism in this is, when I reported it to my supervisor, she emailed him back because I gave her his contact information, phone number, email, and she comes back walking fast through my desk saying that he has sweared at her or something like that, or cursed her out. And I was like, "Well, you know, what did he say?" He said something about, "Well, y'all are going to give me back my DAMM money, my damn money." So she said she was going to tell the lady who I guess they're supposed to report to when it comes to customers that they perceive as being unruly. And now when she came back, she says that, well, Blank, the lady that she came from, says, well, if he wants that 39 cents, because they refunded his money again. They refunded the $11 again. So that was our fault once again. But he wanted the 39 cents too, because rightfully so, that's his money. She says, well, if he wanted the 39 cents, well, he can just come here and get it. And she says that he can come get it and I can give it to him from out of my pocket. So I said, like, I felt that's unprofessional and condescending. And, you know, she kind of froze up. and became like somewhat apologetic. So I said I didn't think that should be that should have been said. And the last report is there was an article about like the judges and like how they set the different sentences between white people and black people. And I can just read just a portion of the article. It says one of the judges, last name Monaco, it says he added that judges use their own discretion. That's that buzzword in setting bond based on statutory factors. And it says, let's see, this person named Sean Thomas, a 20-year veteran, he says, it really is really the inconsistency of it all. The judges do what they want, Thomas said. With African Americans, they go in front of a judge, and 9 times out of 10, they are going to get a bond, and they're going to get a big bond. You can see it every day on the booking in logs. All of the white people get recalled, and all of the black people be bonds. So that was a portion of the article about the disparities and how black people are getting arrested and getting records, and the white people aren't really in comparison. And that's the only thing that I have to share right now. And thank you for allowing me to speak.
Appreciate that caller in Florida. Almost like I know what I'm doing, and all of this might be planned some days. Discretion. And as if all of that just happens miraculously all over the world, and white people are ignorant about racism. Great black self-respect, the suspected race soldier, the phone incident. That happens all that. I was thinking about that where I got kicked at the yoga studio. It happens all the time. Black people get violated, sometimes repeatedly. This victim here repeatedly charging his card and taking money that's not theirs, repeatedly doing this. He gets upset about it. It's, oh my gosh, this nigga, give him his $11. He comes back up, I'll give him his 39 cents on blank. Dang, y'all done violated him repeatedly, and he's upset about this, rightfully so. And it's, no good, Nick. I'm going to report him to, you know, the folks. I didn't even know they have someone you can report unruly clients to. Everyone should go to the courthouse. All kinds of lessons about the system of racism, white supremacy. And I've seen that the first anecdote that he was talking about where they're going around trying to get benefits or passing the can around for coins, for donations for this white woman who had an aneurysm or whatever. I've seen that where they will break. I think you even said that it was against the rules what they're doing. I've seen that consistently where they will do that sort of thing for whites. They will bend over backwards, as they say, to help them out, and whatever they need to do. If we can share ours, if it's a black person, in fact, I think someone had shared before. It was a black person that was having medical issues, and they were trying to share ours, and the whites got all into the policy. Or I don't know if that's feasible. I don't know. And they discouraged people from doing it. I think people were going to share the hours at first with the black person, but then they went around and like, I don't know, that's going to be a tax issue. And then people, you know, relented. They didn't want to do it, so she didn't get the assistance. I mean, whatever, discretion, whatever they want to do. And the main thing that they want to do, if they're classified as white, is practice white supremacy racism. Any other folks? Appreciate that call in Florida. Any other folks that had comments they wanted to make sure they got in? Anybody that we missed? Nab, everybody. Grant, we will be here tomorrow, Friday evening, Invisible Man, Part 1, in my top 5. If folks are looking for reading material, Ralph Ellison, one of my all-time favorites. We've talked about it on the program regularly. I think Dr. Martin Kevorkian mentions it about every time he comes on the program because he mentioned it in his book as well. I think we've had a number of different, some of our listeners, it's had a big impact on a lot of people. The book was published in 1952. I'm sure we have some folks who've read it. It's required reading in a lot of schools, university settings.
I take the position that you can learn quite a bit about the system of racism, white supremacy, particularly if you already understand quite a bit about what racism is, how it works. Wow, you can learn a lot, and I suspect you might even get some entertainment value from Invisible Man. It is fiction. I think this is our first time in the 6-year history of the book club going back to back with fiction, unless I am mistaken, but I do not remember. Oh, yes, The Bluest Eye, The Turner Diaries. I forgot when we first started out, we did go back to back fiction, but that was so long ago. Anyway, Invisible Man, Ralph Ellison, I am so excited. Particularly, this is like cleansing my palate from the hate you give, the wretchedness that we had to endure. Thankfully, it only lasted for 8 weeks. That's it. That's tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. We'll be here Saturday for the compensatory call-in, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Thanks, everyone, for tuning into the broadcast. I hope it was a constructive investment of your Thursday evening. I cannot emphasize enough for workplace racism. If you do not pay attention to anything, the most important concept by far, making sure that we are managing our emotions and not allowing whites to just have us responding with surprise, anger, shock on the jobs. We cannot, regardless of what they're doing, name calling, if it's verbal, particularly verbal things, just we cannot allow ourselves to be surprised about that. Really be thinking about that in advance so we can respond with maximum codification. If you really want to stick it to racists, being codified is the best way. I guarantee you, you're responding emotionally with anger, regardless of what it is. Even if you, you know, bop them upside the head, they got a response for that. And their response is generally spectacular in their favor. They already know how to handle emotional niggers. They got that. That's textbook. Even the most, I'd say most 10-year-old whites, they know how to deal with emotional nigra pretty well. That's it. Sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy. I think under conditions of war, which is being waged against us, it definitely would behoove us to keep that in mind constantly, and to make sure that our brain computers are functioning at maximum efficiency. We do not need anything that is going to impair our thinking, our ability to practice logic. Lots of evidence that racists, they have terrorized a lot of non-white people who were intoxicated, couldn't think clearly. They have made a lot of progress with their narcotics. We can just reject all of that and say, hey, we are going to be sober and thinking clearly of great solutions to the problem, racist man, racist woman, racist child. If we are out and about in a vehicle, we want to be sober and buckled up every time. Let's do everything we can to minimize contact with race soldiers, badge or no. That said, Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Cal signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim,
your
brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my condition.
Mm-hmm.
Even my conditioning has been conditioned.